This is KVSH LP Vashon. Welcome to a Vashon Minute, where we take a moment to focus on one island issue or one island person at a time. I'm Susan McCabe, your host for this episode, where we will focus on island activists, and there are plenty of them here. You see these folks at the four-way stop in town center every Saturday holding signs that demand peace in Gaza. They are Vashon for Palestine, and two of those members are here to tell us more about their quest for an end to the war in Gaza. Welcome, Sue Kraus and John Dancy. Thank you for being here.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
I hear, John, that you are the inspiration for these vigils on Saturday afternoons. How many Saturday afternoons or Saturday mornings have you spent at the four-way stop on Vashon?
I began vigiling about 2 years ago, so 2 years worth.
So what inspired that? What made you start it?
About 2 years ago in the spring, there was for two Saturdays, there was a group, a call for people to come and protest what was happening in Gaza. And I attended those and then was kind of dismayed to see that attendance just evaporate. No one was carrying on with that. So I decided to begin what I'm a Quaker, a friend, and I decided to begin what's called a vigil or a witness for Gaza. At that time, it was myself. And that's how it began.
How did you get other people to join you?
They just did.
Is it kind of like the Pied Piper? Yes, Sue.
I'd like to say that when I first moved to Vashon, having been involved in the issue of Palestine for decades, I went shopping to town center on a Saturday, and I saw John standing alone at the corner with his sign calling for an end to the Gaza genocide. I was just so inspired, went up and spoke to him and asked if I could join him next Saturday. And every Saturday, more and more people have joined us.
It is kind of like the Pied Piper. What is it you hope to achieve with these actions, with these protests every week?
Well, ultimately, an end to what's happening to the people of Gaza.
Yeah. Do you know if it goes any farther? Do you know if anyone is picking up on your protests?
We certainly get a lot of positive honks and waves, which is very encouraging. And I feel like it's important to keep the issue in front of everybody's eyes. There's a great many things to be concerned about, and we need to keep this in the forefront of people's minds so they can become active and engaged in it.
You say you get positive feedback. Do you ever get pushback? Is anybody ever offensive or rough or difficult when you're standing out there?
It's happened from time to time. It's very disconcerting when it does happen. Usually, our general idea is not to get confrontive with people, and if they persist, to try to talk with them and actually ask that we meet later after we're done. So
has that happened? That's a great idea, to get other perspectives and to look for common ground together. Have you been able to have some of those conversations?
I did have one lady who objected to the wording on one of the signs. She objected, though, in a polite and controlled manner, and agreed to meet with me for coffee. We did have a discussion. We didn't come to any mutual agreement. We had very different views, but we had a a calm conversation and expressed each other's opinions.
You know, I'm not sure we can ask for much more than civil discourse in these incredibly polarizing situations. What do you know about other groups that are doing similar things? Do you know of other groups who are doing these weekly protests? Or, is there a larger organizing group?
Actually, the American Friends Service Committee is currently organizing vigils.
How many people are there standing with you now at the four-way stop on Vashon?
I would say there would be about a dozen, plus or minus, every week.
Those are good numbers for Vashon.
They're very faithful supporters.
What else is your group, Vashon for Palestine, doing to oppose the war?
Our mission at Vashon for Palestine is really to amplify the voices of Palestinians. If you've ever had the opportunity to visit Palestine, you would notice that the people you meet, when asked how can we help, will frequently, commonly say, please just tell our story. And so one of the actions that we have done is to arrange film series that expose some of the truths around the situation in Palestine and Gaza. And then, of course, there are many actions that everybody can take, including boycott, divestment, and sanctions, meaning to be careful about what you consume and buy, not buying from companies that profit from the war and the occupation in Palestine, and requesting state and corporate investments to avoid investments in companies that profit from the genocide.
Is there some place online where we can find a list of those corporations that we should avoid?
Yes, there's an organization called BDS.net. I hope I have that right. And also there's a group, a United States group called CutTiesWithGenocide.org.
Ah.
Those are very full of information, helpful information.
CutTiesWithGenocide.org. What is your view of the reasons behind Israel's occupation of Gaza?
I think it's something that goes way back in the history of the area, beginning with the Zionist expulsion of the Palestinian people. So that has just continued for 30 or 40, 50 years. So the current, I think it's just part of the plan that the Israelis have for control of the whole Middle East, which is kind of what's happening with our so-called war against Iran now.
Yeah, certainly a partnership between the United States and Israel. Sue, you've been to Palestine. What have you learned from those people about how they view Israel's occupation, and do they see it as a genocide?
Yes, most certainly, I would say most Palestinians see the Gaza, the many wars that have been waged in Gaza, the most recent, as a genocide. The Palestinian people suffer daily horrors throughout the occupied West Bank and Gaza, with extreme humiliation daily as they have their movement restricted. When we have been to volunteer, the intention of our group is to witness human rights abuses, many at the checkpoints, but also to escort children to school who have to pass by hostile settlements and through checkpoints which very often delay their entry into school. Their backpacks get stolen. It's an everyday humiliation and struggle, but there is immense joy in life also, and great resilience and faith that justice will eventually come to them.
How would that look? Can one of you paint us a picture of a humane resolution to the war between Israel and Gaza, the occupation of Gaza? Is there a way that a peaceful settlement could work in everyone's best interest?
I think the institutions that do exist, the United Nations, so forth, if they were allowed to enforce the agreements that have occurred over time in relation to Israel and Palestine, and really enforce them, not like the phony ceasefire that just happened, and then honoring those agreements and withdrawal of Israeli forces from anywhere near the Palestinians, and then rebuilding and giving the Palestinians their life back.
Do you think a two-state solution is really possible? I see you shaking your head, Sue.
I believe that the two-state solution has long not been possible due to the increasing settlements throughout the West Bank. I believe that given a fair playing field without interference from the United States and other Western governments, that the Palestinians have the skill and should be the ones that negotiate the eventual peace and settlement of the area. I believe it would have to be a one-state solution that would be democratic and non-religious, where every mature person had a vote, regardless of their ethnic or religious background.
Gaza and Israel together.
The whole of Palestine and Israel.
Palestine.
That is a very idealistic view and would take, I would think, many generations of re-education to occur. But that, in my view, should be the eventual goal.
It's a pretty bleak situation right now. We're talking with John Dancy and Sue Krause from Vashon for Palestine about the situation there and about their weekly vigils at the four-way stop in Vashon Town. You folks are there raising awareness and encouraging folks to keep the idea of the need for help for Palestinians in the front of mind. And thank you so much for doing that. You are also showing a film that would be March 11th and 12th, this Wednesday night and Thursday night at the Vashon Theater, The Voice of Hind Rajab, a documentary film written by a Gazan, I presume. Sue, do you know more about this?
Yes, it's actually Vashon Theater who has arranged that movie. We have a movie series coming up later, but this is a documentary film talking about the killing of the young 6-year-old Gazan and the emergency services who were also killed trying to rescue her.
So that's 5 p.m. Thursday, March 11th, Wednesday, March 11th, and Thursday, March 12th at the Vashon Theater. You said there are additional films coming. When are those happening, and are they at the Vashon Theater as well?
They'll be at Vashon Theater. They're presented with the help of Vashon Film Institute. Palestine 36, a historical drama, will be showing April the 19th at 1 p.m. And more movies will be coming in May with dates to be announced.
Okay, I want to thank you both, John Dancy and Sue Krause, for being here. One last note. How do people join the vigil?
They just show up.
What time?
It's every Saturday from 12 o'clock to 1:30.
Thank you. Thank you both for the hard work that you do. And thank you, dear listeners, for joining us here on a Vashon Minute. Stay tuned to the Voice of Vashon. You never know what might come next.